Thank you all for being here. You know what today is? Today we're celebrating our 14th anniversary as a church, and so I want to thank you for being the church for 14 years. Those of you who have been with us for the duration, thank you for sticking with us, for enduring challenges, for enduring hardships. For those of you who are brand new today, thank you for being here today. This might be your first day, but we're celebrating your presence with us as well. 14 years together as a church. And over the course of those 14 years, we have a lot to celebrate. I mean, God has blessed us in so many ways over these 14 years. Blessed us, provided for us, taken care of us. If you want to, you can do some research this afternoon, do a little Google search and figure out, well, how long is it that most church plants last? You know, a lot of church plants, unfortunately, they close within 2 years. Most close within 4 years. But we have surpassed that four-year mark, and we've made it to 14. So you tell me, is that something worth celebrating? I'm going to guess by your applause that's a big yes. That's worth celebrating. But can I be honest with you today? I'm not celebrating that stat today. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that we're still here, but our goal when we started the church was never to just survive. Let's just work with the goal of not closing within 4. What kind of goal is that? So please, don't misinterpret. I'm very thankful that we've survived, but that's not the thing that I'm celebrating today. You know, once upon a time, we were a group of 4 people before we even had a name, before we were called Hope Community Church. 4 people. And over the course of 14 years, that number has gone from 4 to, well, look around you, more than 4. And so we have increased in our number. There is over 100 people who consider themselves members of Hope Community Church. How about that? Is that worth celebrating? It's not a trick question.
It kind of feels like a trick question, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can celebrate that. I'm going to tell you once again, that's not the thing that I'm celebrating today. I'm thankful. I'm deeply appreciative. But we did not set out with the goal of collecting people in a building on a Sunday. That's not our goal. We set out with a different goal. We set out with a better goal. You know, once upon a time, we were somewhat nomadic as a church, and for the longest time, we rented space at the Barnstormers Theater. You guys remember the Barnstormers? Some of you were there at the Barnstormers Theater. Remember how beautiful that space was? Right? Certainly a challenging space, and then we began to outgrow that space, and we would say, wow, what a good problem to have. We're outgrowing this space, but good problems, they need solutions, and God provided. And over the course of several years, we met the people who owned this property, the people of the First Baptist Church of Ridley Park, and God laid it on their hearts to give their property to us. What a miracle! I mean, technically speaking, they didn't give it. It cost a dollar, okay, right? All right. And I put up that dollar. I'm not trying to brag, but okay, you're welcome, everybody, right? But in reality, they gave us this property. God blessed us with the space that we could gather and hear His word and worship Him. Isn't that worth celebrating? You know where I'm going with this, right? I am deeply appreciative of this fact. I'm so glad that we have a place to gather and to worship and to have our small groups and prayer meetings and Bible studies. I am so thankful and deeply appreciative. But that's not the thing that I'm celebrating today. Here's what I'm celebrating. Over the course you praying for me? Over the course of 14 years, we have observed 72 baptisms. 72 baptisms. And that's what I'm celebrating today. 72 baptisms over 14 years as a church. And let me tell you why I'm celebrating that number, 72. I'm celebrating that number because of the mission we set out at as a church at our very beginning. We did not set out to own property. We did not set out to just increase in number. We did not set out to just survive past 4 years. We set out with a very specific goal of sharing the gospel for those who had not yet heard it yet, not yet heard the fullness of the gospel. We set out to saturate our own community with the truth of who God is and what He has done for us, and that God has sent His one and only Son into this world to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to take on the penalty of our sins, to suffer the punishment that we deserve, to pay off the debt that we owe to God. But our Savior Jesus did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose. And in that resurrection, he proved exactly who he was in that moment. And he proved that every word he spoke is true. And he proved that he was stronger than death, stronger than sin. And in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves, not in our good works, but in Jesus Christ, we can receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And our goal for 14 years has been to share that message with the people in our own community. And we have 72 baptisms. I'm not celebrating the water. I'm really not even celebrating the ceremony in itself. I'm celebrating what that ceremony means. And that number 72, it's not a perfect number, right? It's not a perfect number, but it's an indicator. It's an indicator of how many people have heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what I am celebrating today. And we should be thankful for all the many ways that God has blessed us. But let's join together in celebrating the fact that God, through God's power, through God's provision, through God's blessing, we are accomplishing the very specific thing that we set out to do, the salvation of the lost. And today, we will add more to that number. More will be baptized. There's so many ways. Listen, if you're clapping, you go ahead. You start. Yes, we can applaud that. Yes. That's what we're celebrating here today. There are many ways to state our goal. There are many ways to state our purpose. Yes, it's to explain the gospel. We have a vision statement engaging in the mission of God for the sake of the lost, not for the sake of people who are already saved, who just want to do the consumer Christian thing. You know the consumer Christian thing where you just show up at a place and you want to be entertained or you want to be educated or whatever it is. We're not the consumer church. We're not that. We're the antithesis of that. That's not why we're here. Of course, those who are already saved who actually want to engage in discipleship, well, you're welcome. You're more than welcome here. You found your home. But we are engaging in the mission of God, not for our own sake, but for the sake of those who don't yet know Jesus as their Savior. That's our mission. We are here to communicate the fullness of the gospel. Another word for it is we are here to illuminate the gospel all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. We read about light and darkness, light representing good, darkness representing evil, but also light representing clarity, darkness representing confusion, uncertainty. We're born into darkness, not knowing, well, what's the purpose of life? Not knowing, well, is there a God? Not knowing, are we loved by God? Not knowing, well, what comes after this life? And then Christ brings us that illumination, tells us the truth that we are loved by God and that we are precious to him. And so we're here to illuminate the truth, the reality of the gospel. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles today to the book of Acts. There are Bibles in the pew racks if you need one. We're in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Now, last Sunday I told you about how Jesus commanded his disciples to make more disciples, and they were to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see an example of how this plays out. You know, in Acts 2, there's this miraculous event. And so many people by the thousands are baptized. This is a much more intimate event that takes place here in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. On his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. And so here was a man who was a Gentile, not a Jew, not someone who had any context for who God was, but apparently he was exploring this God, looking to learn more about this God. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship the God of the Jews, a God that he did not know. He went to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And so much of what Isaiah had to say were prophecies concerning Jesus, prophecies concerning the Messiah. And so he's reading this. He got a copy of the scroll. He's reading the book of Isaiah on his way home. And the Spirit of God told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. Philip obeyed. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Here's what Philip asks. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Do you get this? Are you making any sense of this? And I love verse 31. The candor here. What does he say? Well, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. How can I wrap my mind around what this even means? Unless somebody illuminates, communicates, explain it. How can I understand this? And so God placed Philip in this man's path, along this man's path, and said, you got to go there, talk to him. God sent Philip to explain it, to illuminate it. Verse 32, this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. And it just so happens, wouldn't you know it, he was reading a passage about the Messiah, about Jesus. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. That's a prophecy. It's part of a prophecy concerning the Messiah. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Is Isaiah writing about his own life, or is he writing about someone else? What a wonderful entree to the gospel. What a wonderful question to be asked. And then Philip began with that very passage of prophecy about the Messiah, that very passage of scripture, and told him the good news, told him the gospel about Jesus. So he heard the gospel of Jesus. He had time to listen to Philip explain the gospel and what Jesus had done for him. Verse 36, and as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And what does Philip say? Well, you know, it's been really nice to meet you, and I'm glad we had this time to talk, but before you're baptized, I really want to make sure that you're in like a church, a local community of believers, and we want to make sure that you're serving, and we want to make sure you're a little bit better educated than you are right now, and we want to make sure you're a little bit more spiritually mature, and we want to make sure you've learned how to tithe and to give back to God, and we want to make sure, no. Philip doesn't say any of that, because as I told you last Sunday, a baptism isn't a graduation. It's an initiation. It's not a finishing line. It's a starting point. And I'm going to tell you right now, the people who are going to be baptized today, they haven't reached their graduation as Christians. Right? They have not reached full maturity. And the ones doing the baptizing, well, we haven't reached our full maturity either. We're not ready for our graduation either. That's what baptism is. It's not a finish line. It is a starting point. And so this man had the opportunity to hear the gospel, to receive the gospel. And he says, what's stopping me from being baptized? And the answer was, nothing. Let's do this thing. And there are people in this room right now that have made the same decision as this Ethiopian official. They've said, nothing is going to stop me from being baptized. I know I've got some learning to do. I know there are some behaviors in my life and attitudes that might need to be modified along the way. I know I'm not there yet, but I also know that Jesus is my Savior. So nothing is going to stop me from me being baptized. That's the decision that they've made. And so what we'll do at this moment, we're going to close this message time in prayer, and then I'm going to invite everyone who will be baptized up to our stage. Let's join together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the many people who have heard your truth, who have heard your gospel. We thank you for those who have preached that truth to us. We thank you for the people in our lives who have illuminated that gospel, made it clear, and provided us with the opportunity to receive you, Jesus, as our Savior. Father God, we pray for the group of people who we baptized today, that this would indeed be a starting point, that they would continue to follow you, that they would continue to grow in faith, wisdom, understanding, and maturity as they continue to walk with you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.